Would you turn to Acts chapter 28? I know that some of you think that I'm a Southern Sweden because of my facial feature and the accent. And it's hard to not believe that, but actually I was born in South Korea. In 1945, Korea was liberated by the two forces. South side by the American, and North side, North Korea was liberated by the Soviet Union from Japanese Imperial Army, which occupied Korea for 36 long years. I was born 3 years after the Korean Civil War ended. And during the Civil War, the North Korea and South Korea fought. But it was not much of a fight. North Korea pretty much pummeled the entire country until 16 nations from the United Nations, which turned into a United Nothing nowadays, the 16 countries, including America, came to rescue. So if you ask the Korean people if they are grateful to the American people, yes, they are very grateful, and they never forget that we owe gratitude to Americans. Now, this simple peninsula war involved many countries, 21 countries, South and North Korea, and 16 allied countries for the South, and three countries, that's North Korea and China and Russia, at that time Soviet Union. If you ask my generation, the older generation, regarding the true concept of freedom, you would get the same basic answer from those who fought them for their freedom against the British Redcoat, also known as the British Army, and during the American Revolutionary War from the 1775 until 1783. I believe that George Washington eloquently spoke about this freedom for all of us. He said, "The time is near at hand which must determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves." Apostle Paul was in Caesarea Roman prison for 2 years without a charge. Then he was on board the ship to Rome. It took over 6 months plus a shipwreck to get to Rome. Once he got into Rome, and it took several years for him to see the Caesar Nero. Though he was a prisoner of the Rome, he was more free than governor of the Judea, Roman governor of the Judea, and the soldiers, Roman soldiers, and Caesar Nero himself. Because Paul had a freedom through Jesus Christ. Listen carefully, please. This is a very important thing. The worst kind of a situation regarding freedom is not realizing that you are not free and you are a slave of someone. Let me say it one more time. This is very important. But the worst kind of a situation regarding freedom is not realizing that you are not free and a slave of someone. Apostle Paul was trying to tell the people who came to his rented house about the freedom through Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord will speak to us the same thing and the very valuable lesson to us regarding the freedom through Jesus Christ. Let's stop and pray. Father, in light of the 4th of July, Independence Day, we all like to believe that we are free men and women in a free country. Though we may have freedom physically, not everyone has the freedom through Jesus Christ. Father, speak to us. Speak to our heart that we may understand your idea of freedom, not our idea. Father, we desire that we want to be more like Jesus, less like ourselves. by learning your truth. Father, we are asking you to anoint our heart to understand, especially the one who speaks, and forgive our sins. Father, we also pray for the President Obama, that he may turn to you and understand the truth, that he may also come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray for our troops around the world, especially the one in the harm's way. And we're asking you to, you willing, you bring them back to their families, to their friends, and to their homes safe and sound. We also pray for the firefighters and the law enforcement personnel in this community. We're asking you to protect them. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 11, please. After 3 months, we sailed in Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was twin brothers, which had wintered in at the island. And landing at the Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached the Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found the brethren, and we were invited to stay with them 7 days. So we went toward the Rome, and from there, then when our brethren heard about us, they came to meet us at as far as Epiphorum and three inns. Some of your version may say three taverns. When Paul saw him, he thanked God and took courage. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Stop there, please. After 3 months in Malta, here they've been shipwrecked, and they stayed there for 3 months to overcome this winter season, because it was not the right time to travel. From here to Syracuse, about 93 miles. From here to the Regium is another 70 miles. And they traveled all this in 1 day, because they had a south wind. From here, the Regium to the Puteoli is 204 miles, they said. And then they traveled from here by land. This, by the way, the Puteoli is the port city of Naples, which is our soldiers, a lot of navies. So there, are they not? Navy? Correct? Okay. And from there, they used the Appian Way to travel to the Epiphorum, to the three inns, and then to finally to Rome. From Puteoli to the to Rome, they met the friends. I'm sure it was encouragement for them, for the Paul to see that they traveled all their way, 33 miles one way, just to see Paul. They greeted him almost as if like a king is coming to the city. They went out of their way to greet him. Centurion Julius and his group took this famous Appian Way and traveled 125 miles from Puteoli to Rome. The first group of Christians met him there in the Epiphorum, and then three taverns, or the three inns, the location, that city. Somehow the word got to the Roman Christians. They came out. I can see why Paul was encouraged. Just as the Lord Jesus promised twice to Paul, Paul arrived at Rome finally. Now the city of Rome, there at the time, during the time, the population was somewhere around 2 million people. There were more slaves in that city than free people. The vast majority of them never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Paul was able to stay in the rented house for 2 years, as we will learn. Now, let's take a look at the Paul's ministry in Rome. Amazingly, God was using the limited situation of Paul with a chain as a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I find the three opportunities that came to Paul because of Paul's chain. First one is that since Paul couldn't go to the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the people came to him. Verse 17 of chapter 28, please. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of Romans." Whenever Paul visited a new town or new city, it was his routine for him to go to the synagogue, the Jewish synagogues, and to preach to the Jews in that synagogue. In Rome, however, he could not do that. Because he was chained. So the Jewish people came to him to listen to him. Second opportunity I find is that since Paul couldn't change what others were saying about him, he simply told the truth. Starting at the verse 18, please. Who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, I'm sorry, because there was no cause for putting me to death. Verse 19. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have a call for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Then they said to me, and said to him, "We neither received letters from the Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere." So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from the morning till evening. That's a long Bible study. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke on Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. And the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said this word, Jews departed, had a great dispute among themselves. Stop there, please. Paul could not change the charge that was made against him by the Jews in Caesarea and Judea area. But he could explain the truth to the Jews in Rome as they gathered at his home. Paul's greatest concern is his witness to the Jews in Rome. The apostle made it clear that his appeal to Caesar must not be interpreted as an indictment against his nation. Actually, he was the prisoner on behalf of his nation and hope of Israel. Paul combs the entire Old Testament from the Law of Moses, all five books known as Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all their five books, and all the prophecies. He's bringing out all the things that pertain to the Messiah, and he's bringing that to their knowledge, reminding them. Then he linked that to the fulfillment by the Jesus Christ. If there is anyone who could understand this, they are the one. What a study this must have been, from the morning, early morning until the evening. Why did Paul did not record that thing? Can you imagine? He could make an MP3 or DVD, put it on Amazon.com, we would buy them. My goodness. So what was the result of Paul's teaching to these people? Some believed, some did not. Par for the course. You know, when I teach from the pulpit, I can see your facial expression. Some of you cross your arms, and those who cross the arms say, nope. And they say, huh, I'm not listening, I'm not buying your story. This whole thing is bogus, this Jesus thing. You may think that way. What you're doing is you're making a choice against God. I can see in your facial expression. Each time you make a choice like that, your heart becomes harder. And if you have a sin against God, maybe it's a hidden sin. Maybe nobody knows except you. And you're thinking that maybe God doesn't know. Really? Paul had faithfully given his witness to the Jews in Rome. Now he turned to the Gentiles. He gave a testimony. Same thing. I give it instruction straight from the Bible. If people choose not to listen to it, then you're on your own. Apostle Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 6, 9 through 10 to this man. That portion is describing their tragic spiritual condition. Jesus had used this passage in the connection with his parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and then Luke chapter 8. Do you know what they are? Parable of the seed that falling into different type of soil. You remember that, right? Some fell into the shallow soil and sprung up right away and died quickly. And some falling into the rich soil and spring up and hundredfold fruit. Apostle John in his gospel applied them to Israel in chapter 12. And Paul also quotes this in the book of Romans as well. It's one thing to listen, it's another thing to just hear. That's why, remember when we were kids, our parents asked us, are you listening to me? Huh? Some of you ladies have, oh yeah, my husband does all the time. And there's a great difference between the seeing and perceiving. It's one thing to just see and understanding. If anybody should possess a spiritual understanding, these are the group of people. Because their hearts were dull and hard, they were not getting it. Too often who enjoy the most spiritual privilege are not ready when they must make a spiritual decision. It's not good enough for you to come to church. Hear me well. The more you come to church, the more you hear the Word of God, if you go against the Word of God, it's going against you. Do you understand that? You may say, oh, that's not how I interpret the Bible. Really, does not matter how you interpret the Bible. What matters is you heard the Word of God, truth of God, and you rejecting it. Now it's on you. Right now, some of you might be in the exact same situation as the Jewish people here. You heard the Word of God and your hearts are dull and your spiritual ears and eyes are closed because of your own stubbornness and pride. The Bible knew what you would do that. It says in the book of Psalms and Hebrews. So keep your finger in Acts and go to Psalm 95, please. Psalm 95, verse 8. It reads, do not, what does it say? Do not harden your heart as in the what? Rebellion. When we harden our heart against God, that is rebellion. As in the day of a trial in the wilderness. Who are those people in the wilderness? Jewish people, remember, came out from Egypt. They hardened their heart against God, and they tried to serve golden calf. And you may say, I will not serve a golden calf. You're right, but you will serve yourself. When people reject the salvation of God, they do not make a salvation of no effect. It just means that God would find someone who would hear and accept it. It is not their loss. It is their loss, not God's. Remember what I said at the opening of this sermon. The worst kind of a situation regarding the freedom is not realizing that you are not free and you are a slave of Satan. If you are not a born-again Christian, you are a slave of Satan. And you may say, I'm a free man. If you are not belong to God, you belong to Satan. If you are not born-again Christian, you belong to Satan. You just don't know. That's the worst situation. Without the freedom through Jesus Christ, freedom you have physically is the only taste of heaven on earth. In just a few years after Paul's rebuke that this Jews who rejected Jesus Christ, Jewish people in Judea was slaughtered wholesale in 1970. And Jerusalem was completely destroyed. Millions of people got killed. God's judgment was coming. And Paul sensed it. That's why he was so urgent. If he was feeling the urgent, and he wanted people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That goes the same for this country. Since 1960, America has been continuously rejecting God's name from every corner of the society. His judgment is already on this country and will be completed very soon. President Obama and his administration is doing a superb job in ruining this country. Some of you may not like what I just said about the political things from the pulpit. Let me ask you this. Can you separate what you believe from how you vote? And all of a sudden you become, okay, this is how I believe, but this is what I'm going to vote for, and this is what candidate I'm going to vote for. You cannot. Everyday life is the way you worship, the way you think about him. Am I making sense to you? You cannot say, I believe God, but I will do whatever I want to do. Then you are not doing what God wants him to do. God wants you to do. That means your heart become hard, your heart become dull, and become rebellion against God. Am I making sense? Since Paul could not change, oh, by the way, there is one thing that I like that Abraham Lincoln said about this. This is a prophetic message. America will never be destroyed from the outside. I agree. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. Is that right or wrong? Third thing we find is that since Paul could not unchain himself from the Roman guard, he used his situation as an object lesson in many ways. During these 2 years, Paul had the time to write a letter to several churches. The letter churches to the Ephesus and Colossae and Philippi and his friend Philemon. From the letters to the Philippians, Ephesians, we learn the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the letter to the Philippians, we learned about the unspeakable joy during the hardship and the trials. From the letter to Colossians, we learned the preeminence and the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know about Jesus Christ, you got to study the book of Colossians. You cannot find a better book. And then from the letter to the Philemon, we learn the glorious intercessory work of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Can you picture this? Paul was writing a letter and he stopped. He was writing a letter to the people in Ephesus, and he almost finished, and he looked at the Roman guard and he said, "Stand up," and turn around, look at him, staring at him, and said, "What?" He said, "Oh, nothing." Sit down. He was writing about the full armor of God. He was just getting it. He was making it into the object lesson. He was using this. Can you imagine? What if he did not have a time to write those four books, we wouldn't have the opportunity to learn about the glory of Jesus Christ, excellency, preeminence of Jesus Christ, and the intercessory work of Jesus Christ, and the joy in the midst, unspeakable joy in the midst of the hardship. God does not waste our time. All right, verse 30. Finally, yes, we are finishing this book. Thank God. It took over a year. No, just 1 year. Then Paul dwelled 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerned Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. These 2 years was not wasted. And God didn't waste Paul's time, nor will he waste your time. Especially if you are going through a difficult time. God is using that time to speak to you. All you gotta do is just listen. God's purpose for our lives in that moment. According to extra biblical record, Paul was released and resumed his ministry. Some theologians said that he even traveled as far as to Spain. And he came back, he was arrested. He was rearrested. This time, he didn't get to have rented a home. They stuck him in the Mammoth Dungeon. You got to see that this place is very... You can go down through the steps, but they fed him through the little hole. They opened the top and lowered down the food and water for several years. They believe that between either 67 and 68, they pulled him up and beheaded him with the axe. While he was there, he wrote a letter to the Philippians. While he was there, he wrote a letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy. When you read the 2 Timothy, you will see. The saddest thing about this second imprisonment, his being was forsaken by the believers of Rome, in Rome, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The great apostle to the Gentiles was abandoned by the very people he came to assist and help. Go to the 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Can you feel his loneliness? He said, only Luke is with me, because everybody abandoned him. Listen, there is no end of this book, Book of Acts. Because the history of the church continues in this story on and on through the centuries. Trusting Jesus and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit and guidance of the Father. And the Word of God will continue to spread without hindrance, continue to change lives for the glory of God. Book of Acts is really a never-ending story, and it is being continuously written by you. Amen? 2 applications. Number 1, freedom through Jesus Christ gives us eternal hope in Him. no other way. If you're thinking that you can make your way to heaven because you're a good person, I have a surprise for you. No, actually, the Bible has a surprise for you. You ain't. That's a redneck version of no, you are not going. Second application. Freedom through Jesus Christ is rejected by those who choose to remain as a slave of Satan without knowing that he or she is. Did you get that? If you don't belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to Satan. There's no other way. There's no somewhere in between.